Turn our Bibles to John chapter 1. As we study the book of John once again, seeking to see Jesus. That's what John wrote this book for, that we would see Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you now and we ask, just briefly, before we study your word, we ask for you to come in power. We ask for you to open our eyes that we would see Jesus. We ask that you would shed this beautiful light in our hearts and in our souls. We've come here today, Father, to seek after you. We haven't come here today to play religion. We haven't come here today because it's just a tradition. We've come here seeking the true and living God. And we ask that you would please come to us now through your preached word, that as your word comes, it will be accompanied by your spirit, and that you will speak to every one of our hearts who are here today, young and old. You will speak to us. You will draw us to the light who is your son. Bless us now, we pray, in his precious name. Amen. D.A. Carson wrote a commentary on the book of John, and concerning one of the verses that we're going to be looking at here today, he wrote this. He said, this verse is a masterpiece of planned ambiguity. Now, ambiguity means, can have one or two meanings. Ambiguity can mean to open to more, be open to more than one interpretation, be open to more than one interpretation. Or ambiguity can mean to be doubtful or uncertain. Carson does not mean the second meaning. He means more the first meaning. And even though this is kind of an important way to understand the book of John, I would like to say that I don't really care for, I wish that would have been said differently. And here's how I'm going to say it, is that the book of John is a book of glorious profundity. Profundity. And what I mean by that is that there is statements that are made here that are so profound. Now, Carson uses ambiguity because it can be open to one or more interpretations, but I don't care for that because I think that what John is doing here is that the things that he's saying is so profound that it's open to both interpretations at once. And we're going to see that in the text today. And I want you to, as you're studying the book of John, I want you to understand something. John is very, very simple book. It's the first book that when you're in seminary, you translate out of the Greek because it's so simple. Some have said it's at a third grade grammar level, and it is. John's book is so simple, but it is so profound. And sometimes we can get lost in that And even we're going to look at some of the verses. We're going to look at a word today that is so hard to translate. Is it this? Is it that? Is it this? Is it that? And even probably if we did a poll of Bibles here, we're going to see that they would go this way and that way. But they're both. It's big. I think of the way, I think of going to the beach. When I go to the beach, I'm just one of these people that I enjoy the outdoors more when I know what's going on, okay? But I'm also kind of not super intelligent and not real scientific, so I usually am clueless as to what's going on. But when I go to the beach, I like to see seashells. I wonder what animal this was. I wonder where this came from. I wonder how long this has been out there. Or seaweed. What plant is this? Where does that grow? Or how many fish are here? Or waves. When is the tide? How does the tide work? And sometimes I'm so taken up by everything, caught up by it, that at other times I need to sit, open up my little chair, sit, and just take in the whole wonder and glory of the whole thing. Just take in the smell of the salt air. Take in the sunshine. Take in the vastness of what I see. Take in the waves that I hear. Take in the whole thing. And I want to encourage you, that's how you should approach John. Understand the details. Try to get to the details. That will enrich you in the details. But also step back and just take in the glory of it. And that's what we're going to look at today. Now, two weeks ago, when I preached on here, I preached on that Jesus is life. He is the life. And that's what John starts out with in this book when he says, that in him was life. In him was life. He was life, and the life was the light of men. All things were made through him. And that can be summarized really well, and I don't have this for the screen, but just listen. At the end of 1 John, John writes this, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life." So last week we looked at Jesus as the life. Today what we're going to look at is Jesus as the light, and that's what John goes to next. Jesus is the light. So I'm going to look at this under three headings. Number one, Jesus is the light. We're going to look at that. And then we're going to look at this contrast John introduces between light and darkness, a very important theme in John. And then finally, we're going to ask the question, how does the light impact people even today? How does the light impact people today? So let's begin with the idea that John introduces Jesus as the light. Again, look at 1 John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was, now he introduces light, the light of men. The life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, as you're listening to this in John, the beginning of John, the prologue of John, it sounds like Genesis 1, doesn't it? In the beginning, and there's God, and then there's light. In fact, listen to what Genesis 1, 1 through 4 says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was in the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And so clearly John is tracking through this as he's talking about Jesus as the one who was in the beginning with God, as the one through whom all things were created, as the one who created light, and as God spoke using his word, the word, he created light. And so John is tracking down through that, and yet you'll notice what he says here then in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, when I first read that, it puzzled me. It caused me to just question, what is this relationship here between life and light? And one commentator put it really well. He said, "The light which both springs from life and issues in life." So look at that for a second. The light, which is Jesus, who is life, the light which both springs from life. And we're going to see that. Jesus, who is life itself, comes to the earth, and he is also the light. The life is the light, okay? And that's what John is getting at here. But then notice the second half of the phrase, and it issues in life. The light brings life. And that's what John is drawing on here. And so he sees him as the light of the world. Then look at verse 5. It says this, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, your Bible may say overcome. Some Bibles say comprehend or overcome. So the light shines, and the darkness did not comprehend it, or the darkness did not overcome it. Now, my New King James actually has a footnote at this point, and it says, or overcome. And so they're wrestling. Is it comprehend or overcome? Because this word could go either way. So this is one of those examples in the book of John. This is what Carson called this ambiguity. It could be interpreted either way. In fact, this is very hard to get a hold of, and there's a certain Bible translation. It's called the Amplified Bible. If you are ever doing Bible studies, say you go on Bible Hub or something, and you see a lot of different translations, the Amplified is interesting because it's actually not a translation. What it is it's almost like a lexicon. They take all the meanings of a word and try to put in it. When they got to 1 John 5, they had a problem, and they knew it. Look at how this thing gets translated. It's a little bit humorous, actually. It says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it, or overpower it, or appropriate it, or absorb it, and it is unreceptive to it. Now, that's not a really kind of good Bible translation you're going to have devotions with. But at the same time, you can see the problem with this word that John chose. The word has lots of different meanings. And so here, again, is where I say when you want to understand John, you got to take it all in. Just sit at the beach and take it all in sometimes and such. Let me explain to you how this could even happen in English. Look at what John says in verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or overcome it or something. Think of the word grasp, the English word grasp. Now, that word can have several meanings all at once, can it? To grasp something could be to grab something, to apprehend it, to capture it almost, to physically hold on to it. In fact, the word is used this way in John 8, where it says of the woman who was caught in adultery. She was apprehended while in adultery. And that's the same Greek word that John uses here. But at the same time, our word grasp can have a mental concept to it. To grasp, to comprehend something. Somebody will say, the students grasped the concept finally. Or somebody could say, oh, I get it. I've grasped it. And so our word grasp can have, and that's the word that John is using here. Now, which one is John focusing on? I think he's focused on both. The light came, and the darkness was powerless. The darkness couldn't overcome it. The darkness couldn't grab it, apprehend it, hold it, push it back, or anything. The darkness had to give to the light. The light was too powerful. And the darkness didn't get it. The darkness didn't comprehend it. The darkness didn't understand it. Notice what he says in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. The world just didn't get him. They didn't grasp who he is. And so you see, this is what John is saying. So let's sit back on the beach and say, what happened here? Powerful light came, Jesus, the life, and the light came, and the darkness couldn't handle it, couldn't overcome it, couldn't defeat it, and couldn't grasp it. So then he goes on to say this. Look at verse 6. He introduced John the Baptist. There was a man sent from heaven whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Then in verse 9, he says this. That was the true light which gives life to every man coming into the world. Now, I actually don't think that's a good translation, but in the New King James, in the footnote, they have a better translation. And it says this, that was the true light which coming into the world, not the men coming into the world, the light coming into the world, gives life to every man. The light has come into the world to give light to every man. And I think that's a better translation. And so you see, John is saying that Jesus is the light, and he came into the world to shed forth and to send forth that light. Now, John also talks about darkness. The darkness couldn't comprehend it. So that leads us to our second point of light and darkness. How do we understand where John's coming from? Well, the best way to do that when you're doing Bible study is to look at how he uses the concept in the other parts of his book. So let's do that briefly. Turn with me to John 3:18. John 3:18. Just flip a page over, perhaps, or two. John 3:18. And listen to what John writes. This is actually the words of Jesus. It says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. That's Jesus. And men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light because his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done of God. So you notice here that John introduces this theme of darkness and light again. And darkness can be used in two ways. We're going to see this in the scriptures here. Darkness can be used for literally for night, like darkness. Like if you're in your house and all of a sudden the electricity goes out and it's pitch black. And you start stumbling around, and you don't know where you're at. You don't know where you're going, and you bang into stuff until you can find where you kept that flashlight and see, so that you could get. And then finally, once the light comes and you turn that flashlight on, or if the electricity comes back on, all of a sudden you can see everything. And so the Bible uses that phrase, that idea that of stumbling in the night. We're going to see that. And that's one of the themes of darkness. But then, of course, there's a more sinister aspect of darkness. A more sinister aspect, and we're going to see this as well. Darkness being the fact that we are fallen people, and Satan brings forth darkness, and that's what you saw in 1 Thessalonians, where it talks about the fact that people do bad things at night. There's that sinister aspect. You get drunk at night under the cover of darkness. You hide what you're doing, so you do it at night. And so there's this sinister aspect of fallen, evil, satanic that's associated with Jesus coming and expelling the darkness. And here we see that. Look in this verse. It says, verse 19, this is the comprehension. Why? The light is condemnation. Light has come into the world. But notice this. Men loved darkness rather than light. They loved the darkness. Here's that sinister aspect of it. In fact, he goes on to say that they hate the light. They hate the light, okay? Why do they do this? He says, they do this because their deeds are evil. They want them hidden by the darkness. They don't want to be exposed for who they are. And so they flee from the light. They run from the light. They turn from the light. They don't want the light in their life. And so you see how John is talking about this light and darkness. Look at chapter 8 and verse 12. Chapter 8 and verse 12. This is Jesus speaking, and he says this, then Jesus spoke to them and said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have, now notice light and life coming together again, but have the light of life, everlasting life. So notice here, I am the light of the world, Jesus said, follow me. And when we get to this text, we're going to see that this was during a celebration of sorts of lights. I am the light of the world, follow me. He who follows me won't walk in darkness, but he'll have light, he'll see, he'll know where he's going, and that he'll have the light of life itself. Look at chapter 9 in verse 5. Oh, I can't wait till we get to chapter 9. Chapter 9 is where Jesus heals a man that was born blind. And it says this, though, in chapter 9 and verse 5, Jesus simply said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, pick up on that, by the way, as we go on. Jesus' emphasis that, hey, I'm here right now. I'm shining a bright light. Get with the program, guys. Get with the program. Watch what's going on. Be a part of this. Take advantage of this. I am the light of the world, he says. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And then in this verse, he spits on the ground, forms a little bit of mud, puts it on this guy's eyes, tells him to go wash his eyes off, the mud off. He washes the mud off, and he can see. And then it causes a huge controversy for the rest of the chapter. But it's sort of classic what this guy says when he's being interrogated by the religious beliefs. Look at verse 25. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. This light of the world brought light into my soul. I see, and I've never, ever been able to see ever in my life. Jesus is the light of the world. Look at chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Jesus talks about this idea of darkness, walking in the light, not stumbling. It says in 11:9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. That's Jesus. He's the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. So this idea of darkness and light, and of course in the daytime, yeah, and then at nighttime you stumble around and without light. And yet also Jesus is pointing out that he is the light. Look at chapter 12, verse 35. It says this, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. I'm going to be here on earth for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, while I'm here right now, lest darkness overtake you. And there's the same word that we looked at earlier when he said the darkness couldn't comprehend or overtake. He says, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. Now, there's a new thing introduced here, being the sons of light. That's what Paul was talking about in 1 Thessalonians. Look at verse 46, 12:46. I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me shall not abide in darkness. Jesus brings life, gives life, and life fills your life then. Now, let's just do one more thing. Turn with me to 1 John, 1 John. If you're new to the Bible and you're following along in the Pew Bible, for instance, that's page 1,398. But look at 1 John chapter 1. We're trying to understand what John means when he says light and darkness, how that works out in John's writings. In 1 John chapter 1 in verse 5, he says this, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us." Here, light, God being light, is his absolute moral purity and holiness and such. And he says, God is light. And if you say that you know this God who is light, but you walk in darkness, you're lying. But if you walk in the light as God is the light, and then the blood of Jesus has cleansed you, you're saved, that's who you are, you're a son of light. Look at chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. Again, a new commandment I say to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because, now notice this, the darkness is passing away. And the true light is already shining. So look at this. The light has come into the world and the darkness can't overcome it, comprehend it and such, grasp it. The darkness, because the light has come into the world, is passing away. People are walking in the light now and the darkness is receding. Verse 9, he who says that he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness. But he who loves his brother, which is the great commandment that he's talking about, abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. He's not stumbling. He's walking in the light. And you know he's walking in the light because he's loving his brother. He's a child of light. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So these are the first two points that we want to make here. Jesus is, and this, if you turn back to John chapter 1, Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light who has come into the world, John is saying. And he is shining. He is a bright, glorious light that is shining. Again, look at verse 9, John 1, 9. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. This shining bright light was Jesus, incarnate, taking on flesh, walking around among us, and there he was, the very Son of God, and he was the light of the world. Jesus came as the light of the world, to be the light in the world. He who is life has come down to shine a bright light. That's what John's trying to say here. And what does that mean, that Jesus came to shine a bright light? He came to shine a bright light, to glow in the beauty of his light as God and to point us to the Father. Look at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. There's the light shining. And the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he came to reveal the Father. Look at verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Jesus has come down as the perfect image of God, as light. He's come down to shine the light, and glowing from him, as it were, is this powerful revelation. I am the Son of God. This is who God the Father is. This is what it means. I'm walking among you so that you can see and behold this beautiful light. And from this light, you can understand. Understand. Understand what? Understand that God is love. You watch Jesus, and he's a shining light, and you understand something about God. God is a God of love. He loves nobodies. He literally loves and cares about nobodies. So Jesus in John 4 speaks to a woman at the well who's had so many husbands she could probably barely remember their names. Very immoral woman. He loves her. He comes to a woman caught in adultery in chapter 8, and he loves her. He reaches out to her in love. He loves blind beggars. He loves blind people. He's concerned about them. He's revealing a bright and shining light that God is a God of love. Jesus loves nobodies, but he also loves somebodies who are nobodies but think they're somebodies. Think of Nicodemus, who in John 3 is going to come at night. Isn't that interesting? Nicodemus comes at night, and Jesus says to him, "You think you're somebody, O teacher of Israel, but Nicodemus, you know what you got to do? You got to be born all over again. You got to become a totally different person. You got to be born again from above." So here's a somebody who Jesus is saying is a nobody and needs to actually restart all over again and be born again so that he can see the kingdom of God. Jesus came to shine a light of who God is in terms of the fact that we live in the Father's world. Part of the light that Jesus shines, don't you know you live in the Father's world? Don't you know that you have a heavenly Father? Don't you know that he cares about? Don't you know he's everywhere? I'm telling you, the Father is everywhere. See that bird? He's feeding that bird. See that bird? He's feeding that bird. See that bird? He's feeding that bird. See that flower? He clothed that flower. See this rain coming down and the crops come? He sent that rain. Now see, the rain is gone and the sunshine and the crops are growing faster and faster. See that? That's him. He's everywhere. He's working. Stop worrying. He's your heavenly Father. That's a bright and shining light. Jesus showed the power of God. He healed people. He healed them of all of their sicknesses and diseases. A person would come with leprosy, and his body was literally being eaten by bacteria all over, and his skin stunk, and his skin and his things were falling off. And Jesus touched him, and he was immediately healed perfectly, perfectly. His skin was perfect. Lame people, they jump up and start dancing at Jesus' power. People who have bled for years and years, they stop bleeding and they're healthy again. People who have fevers jump up and start serving dinner. Jesus comes upon people that are blind and suddenly they see. Dead people rise up from the dead. Demon-possessed people, the demons tremble and flee and fear. Why? A bright light has come into the world. The very Son of God, the one who created all things, is now in the world in shining light. He shined a light on the holiness of God. What does it mean to love God with all of your heart? Jesus was an example of that. He was a shining light. What does it mean to love your neighbors yourself? What does it mean to be morally pure? Jesus was a light of that. Jesus was the shining bright light. I love how Matthew quotes Isaiah when he says this about Jesus, about Capernaum, where Jesus moved to Capernaum. And Matthew says this, he quotes Isaiah. He says, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." Why? Because Jesus moved into Capernaum. He's this bright light. Jesus, the good shepherd, who's also the Lamb of God, the sacrifice lamb, who's also the high priest who takes the blood into the very presence of the Father, who is also the King of all kings and Lord of all lords and Savior, and on top of all of that, in one sense, our friend. Jesus, the light of the world. And Jesus came as the light of the world, and Jesus still is the light of the world. People are stumbling in darkness. People today are stumbling in darkness. What does it mean to be in darkness? Well, part of it means that You're mentally dark. You're living in ignorance. People today, they don't know who they are. People don't know who they are. They don't know the meaning of life. What is life all about? They don't know what is right and what is wrong anymore. They don't know how we got here. They don't know where we're going. They don't know if there is a God. And if there is a God, they don't know what he's like. That's dwelling in darkness. Or they're stumbling through life, falling, getting up, stumbling, not sure where they're going, breaking, destroying, hurting, all along the way, stumbling through life, and then stumbling into death, and then stumbling in darkness into eternity. People are still in darkness today. And then there's this sinister aspect of darkness. Satan at work. Satan keeping them in darkness. Satan tempting them to evil. Satan warning them not to come into the light lest they be exposed. Satan getting them to they will hate the light and they won't come to the light. Satan, who is more powerful than they could ever be, keeping them from the light, keeping them in darkness, helping to get them to stumble into eternity and into hell. Satan is at work. And we could sit here and we could say, I know people like that. And you're making me feel hopeless. How could they possibly come to the light? Well, for that, we come to our final point, which is this. How does the light impact people? And for that, I would like you to turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you're following along in the Pew Bible, that is page 1328. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. How does this light impact people today? Especially people who are walking in darkness and who don't want the light, who hate the light, who don't want to come to the light. How in the world can they come to the light? Well, that's described to us in chapter 2 Corinthians 4. Look at verse 3. It says this. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Now, there's no darkness like total blindness. Total blindness is total darkness. Whose minds the God of this age, Satan, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. We see, Todd, that's still pretty hopeless. Yeah, it is. It is hopeless. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul writes this, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Foolishness. But to us who are being saved is the power of God. Look at the contrast there. For some people, people in darkness, the cross is utter foolishness. For other people, it's the power of God unto salvation. What happened? What's going on here? Well, let's look back at 2 Corinthians. Now look at verse 5. Paul writes this, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. So Paul is preaching. He's preaching. He's preaching Christ. He's preaching Christ. He's preaching Christ to these people in verse 3, for whom this gospel is veiled, he's still preaching to them, who are perishing, he's still preaching to them, whose minds are blind, they're in darkness, he's preaching to them, who do not believe, he's preaching to them, in the grip of Satan, he's preaching to them, preaching to them. You say, what a fool's errand. Wait a minute. Look at verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Where's that coming from? It's coming right out of Genesis 1. It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Picture that verse. Picture that verse. Go back to Genesis 1. Darkness. All darkness, no, all void, chaos. And God in that darkness says, let there be light. And light shines. And the darkness can't comprehend. The darkness can't hear. Light comes in. This is God saying, while Paul is preaching, while Paul is preaching, while Paul is preaching and presenting Christ and calling people to Christ, in that midst, in that context, all of a sudden God says, let there be light. And the person's heart and soul is enlightened, and they see the glory of God in the face of Christ. The light breaks in. The blindness is gone. Their minds are free. The light shines in that dark place because the gospel has come to them and has come to them in power by the sovereign grace and work of God. You see, God must work. God must work. That's how you came to the light. God drew you to the light. God opened your eyes. God spoke to you. That's why for you, you were at one time thinking that this cross was foolishness. These Christians were idiots. This was stupid. Plus, I don't want to be holy like them. This is insane. I don't want to be a part of this. This is utter foolishness. You are one of these people, and now you're over one of these people saying, praise God. This gospel is the gospel of the power of God into salvation. Jesus is precious. This is eternal life. He is the light. He is the Son of God. I love him. I desire him. What was the difference between the old you and the new you? God said, let there be light. Let the light shine in. Let the light of Christ, the light of the gospel, shine in. So how do we apply this then? What do we do? Well, I say, first of all, one of the things that we do is we proclaim, we preach, we point people to Christ. We point them to the light. We point them to Jesus. We invite them to Jesus. We sincerely, carefully point them to Jesus without losing heart, because this is the means that God uses. Look at what Paul says in verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, the light shone in us, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by a manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What's Paul saying? If Paul was saying this today, what Paul would be saying is this: we preach Christ. We preach Christ from integrity. We preach Christ. We don't try to trick people. We don't try to entertain them. We don't do stupid things like I just saw on the internet where a pastor came into the church on a zip line. We don't do silly, foolish, joking, stupid things to get people's attention and think that somehow that's going to dispel the blindness that Satan has them in. That is utter foolishness. No, Paul says, as men of integrity, we preach Christ. We call them to Christ. We preach the light. We preach this. And this gospel is the power of God into salvation. But the whole time, we're depending upon God and waiting upon God to move and work and open hearts and open minds and open eyes. And that's why I say to you, dear ones, if you have people that are lost in your life, tell them about Jesus. Point them to Jesus. Speak to them about Jesus as they give you chance. But secondly, pray. Pray. Pray because you are utterly dependent upon God to open their eyes. Pray with utter dependence upon God. Fervently, persistently pray for your unbelieving loved ones. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray often. Pray long. Pray hard. Pray to God, knowing this, that God is gracious. I pray for my unsaved loved ones, but I pray knowing God, and I talk to God about his graciousness. God, you are love. You sent your son. You are so gracious. I'm talking to you about this person. I'm talking about this one. I'm talking to God, please, in your mercy, in your grace, come to them. Open their eyes. Just say the word. Let there be light. God is powerful. We look at our unsaved loved ones and think, what in the world? How could we ever? Oh, they're so hardened. Oh, they're so contrary. Oh, they even hate me. What? Oh, what could? Oh, this is, I feel so weak. But God is so powerful. God, you have all power. You can simply say, let there be light. It seemed so easy in Genesis 1, God. Let there be light. And all of a sudden, light floods the universe. Oh, God, flood their heart. Open their eyes. Save them, we pray. Save them through the word. Come with might and power. Save. Dear ones, we have not because we ask not. We wring our hands for unsaved loved ones, but we need to be people of prayer because we are utterly dependent upon God. Every time I walk up these steps, I'm praying, God, please, I'm so weak. You must come with power. Open their eyes. Open people's eyes. And that's what we have to do. And then thirdly, finally, let me encourage you this. We need to be light. Remember how Jesus says, while I'm in the world, walk in the light. While I'm in the world, walk in the light. Well, what happened when he left? There's no light. No, there is. No, there's light now. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. You are not of the night nor of darkness. Ephesians 5:8. For you were once darkness, But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then, of course, Matthew 5, 14 and 15. You are the light of the world. Jesus is speaking to his followers. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand that it may give light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus is the light of the world, and he has made us light. And he says, you are now the light of the world. Go and shine your light. Shine the light that they might see me in you. You see, dear ones, what we're supposed to be doing now is they're supposed to be seeing us. The people that we live with, the people that we're around, the people that we work with, the people in our neighborhoods, the people in our families, our nuclear families in the house, our extended families, our friends, they're to be seeing us. We're to be living among them. And as they see us, they should be seeing a bright light. They should be seeing a light. There's something noticeably different here. What is going on here with this person? What am I seeing here? They should be seeing a light. They should be seeing an unusual light. They should be seeing a light that is noticeably different. They should be seeing a light that welcomes. They should be seeing a loving light. They should be seeing a holy light. And by seeing that light, that's how Jesus shines today. Jesus is saying to you, I want to shine in your house. You say, okay, Jesus, come. He says, no, I'm going to shine through you in your house. I'm going to shine in your workplace. Okay, Jesus, come, bring a miracle. Just come breaking through. No. I'm going to shine through you in your workplace. I'm going to shine through you in your neighborhood. I'm going to shine through you in your relationships. I'm going to shine through you. I have saved you. I have saved you. I have brought you to me, the light. I have saved you. And now you're the sons of light. Go and be light. Be light to the world. Be light and show them, point them to me, and trust me to come in power. All right, dear ones. Two questions. One, are there any here that are walking in darkness? You're stumbling. You got questions, you don't have answers. If you pause and you stop scrolling, you shut the music off, you shut the movies off, and you think for a moment, you get scared. You can't put it all together. World doesn't make sense, and it's scary, and you don't know who you are and where you're going, and there's got to be more to it than this. And maybe you've made a pile of money already, but you're still not happy. So maybe you got married, and that's wonderful. Marriage is a delightful thing, but you realize this isn't everything. So then you buy a house. You say, wait a minute, pipes leak. Hold on, this ain't that fun. In other words, everything that you do isn't the ultimate. It's out of grasp. The ultimate is out of grasp. And you feel empty, maybe a little lost, certainly anxious and scared. I want to encourage you. A great light is shining in this world. It's the light of Jesus. And if you come to Jesus and you come to the light and you come to him and he will not cast you out. You say, Todd, you don't realize I'm dark. He can cast all of that out. He doesn't care. He loves people. He's calling you to himself, and he's going to give you life and meaning and hope. When I became a Christian out of a very wicked background, one of the things that just blew my mind as a Christian is that suddenly the world made sense. The world had meaning. The world had purpose. The world had joy. I knew who made it. I knew where I was going. It all was so I was so happy, still am, so happy. Jesus wants to offer that to you. And to those of us who are believers, oh, dear ones, please pray. Talk to your loved ones if they'll give you an ear. But shine. Shine in your love for them. I want these people at work to say, he's so different. She's so different. That boss was so mean, but they don't get bitter. That guy stabbed him in the back, but he forgave him and prayed for him. He has joy. He has purpose. His marriage is flourishing. His children seem to be doing so well. I can trust him. He would never screw around with me. What is going on here? Why is he so different? And as Peter said, they'll ask you for the hope that is within you. Oh, dear ones, let's shine for Jesus. Let's shine for Jesus wherever we're called to. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we say with the Apostle Peter, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the light of the world. You are our Savior, our friend. You went to the cross for us. You died on bloody Calvary because you love us. You're the shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. You're the hope of the world. You're the meaning of the world. You created the world. You're coming again to make it all right. And this day, in the outskirts of Greenville, in a little room, you have come and you are inviting people to come to you. Oh, Lord, if there are any here today who are saying, I need this. I need him. I need light. I need a relationship with God. Oh, Lord, hear them calling out to you and save them. Come to them. Give them everlasting life. And, Lord, for those of us whom you have saved, oh, we just want to be a better light. Help us to shine for you. Even this week, help us to shine. And please, please, oh great, all-powerful God, speak into the lives of our unsaved loved ones. Speak life. Speak light. Speak, oh great God. You have the power to save. You alone have the power to save. We love them, Father. Save them, we pray. Save them before it's too late. Save our loved ones, we pray. Save our friends, we pray. Come, we pray. Show them the light of Jesus. We will give you glory in his name. Amen.